When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level 2, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretzi on the Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159, the quickest 120 minutes in sports talk and television continues. Let's do this thing. Let's bring in AllAccessFootball.com's, the founder of the NFL Draft Bible, Rick Saratella in the house. Let's do this thing. And as always, there's a lot of stuff to break down. Rick, how you doing, my man?
Oh, baby, let's level up. I see that BC Lions shirt on you, Gabe. Let's buckle up.
Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll. Snoop Dogg and the BC Lions and the Edmonton Elks on Saturday in Vancouver. CFL Week 1, UFL playoffs. But let's start off with some NFL news and pretty big time news coming out of Detroit. As four-time Pro Bowler Frank Ragnow has retired from the Detroit Lions at 29 years old, Rick. And there's a saying in sports and basically in whatever career you are doing that if you're undecided whether you want to do it, you've kind of already made up your mind that you shouldn't be doing it anymore. And I think that's case in point in the National Football League, right? If you're not 100% in and you're uncertain, you know, that means you really don't want to be playing anymore.
That's right. When you start thinking about retirement, you're actually retired. And so, you know, good for Frank Ragnow, 29 years old, able to depart on his own terms. I saw him cite health. I saw him cite family. But now, listen, this man gave up millions of dollars because he was not just a Pro Bowl. He was all pro the last three consecutive seasons.
One of the best centers ever to play. Let's be honest. He literally is one of the best centers in modern history. Let's, you know what I mean? I got four-time Pro Bowl in a seven-year career.
Yeah, he's probably one of the best, if not the best center we've seen since Jason Kelsey. And you talk about the timing, like, you know, I know David Andrews recently retired, but there's not just like established centers hanging out on the street. So, you know, you talk about defections, the coordinators, now your center, who's also like a coach on the field. I'm a little bit worried about these Detroit Lions winning the conference again.
They're really up against it. Like, it really is just systematically one by one things seemingly, you know, these are not easy positions to replace. Ben Johnson was such a big part of that offense. And not everybody has a Cam Jurgens, right? Like the Philadelphia Eagles do. So you're the draft guru. There's a lot of pressure right now, Rick, because it sounds like the plan in Detroit is to put Tate Rattledge, their draft pick out of Georgia, into the center position. How do you feel about this?
Well, you know, I did go and look at the Lions roster. They do have a unproven, like, rookie first-year center who doesn't have any NFL game experience. So, you know, in the short term, they don't have any other options except to slide the rookie out of Georgia over to center, something he never did in college, but he's going to get a shot at it in the NFL. And that's what we do in the big leagues. We adapt and adjust. Yeah. Right, and one door closes, another door of opportunity arises, and now Rattledge has a chance to start, crack the starting lineup, which was, let's be honest, one of the best offensive line in all of the league.
They also drafted Miles Frazier, big SEC player out of LSU, big long-rangey type of dude. Is he in the mix as well? How good is he?
Yeah, I like a Miles Frazier. Again, you know, how comfortable is he snapping the ball? We don't know answers to that. I think it's something that's going to have to be a trial by fire. I would imagine that a center is going to be brought in during training camp, and they're going to have to monitor the waiver wire as well.
All right, so one of the rookies that was very polarizing, and, you know, it seems to – it's gotten nastier and crazier, you know, in the modern era with social media, et cetera. There's nothing social about it, but with the criticism of players. And McMillan, Tet McMillan out of Arizona was the case in point of it, right? There was a lot of, like, negative comments from the unknown, you know, unnamed general manager, an unnamed scout says this and says that. You know, they question his route running. They question, you know, the video from, you know, was from a couple of years ago when he said he doesn't really like football. He just plays football, but he doesn't watch football. That, you know, he wasn't the, you know, the most sociable guy with his teammates in Arizona. Like, they really piled on pretty big on him. But the Panthers liked him. The Panthers ended up getting him, and they're loving what they're seeing from him so far. And I know you and I always talk, and you're the first one to say, listen, T-shirt and short stuff doesn't matter. But it's a little bit different with a wide receiver than a quarterback. Because I'm seeing this stuff, and he's beating a lot of those DBs in camp right now pretty easily, bro.
Yeah, which he should be doing. And, you know, listen, I tend to be in the agreement that he's not a great route runner, and he does have questionable speed, and he did say on camera that he doesn't even really love football. So all those things do exist. They weren't just pulled out of thin air. That being said, he's a dynamic talent. I don't love the Carolina. A, I don't love the quarterback. B, I don't love the head coach. I think Carolina will be lucky to win two games, but who else are they going to throw the ball to?
Two games. Two games. Listen, last year I had a lot of people, you know, smart people that were like betting the Panthers over 5.5 wins. And I said, you guys are crazy. Like, what am I missing here? You guys, like, yeah, and I said the same thing. I said, this team's gonna win 3-4 games. Like, they're not winning 6 games. But I liked what I saw from them, Rick, down the stretch, and I bought into Bryce Young. I personally think this is a 6 or 7 win football team right now. I'm not saying 8 or 9, but I'm going to go as far as saying 6 or 7.
I'll take the under, whatever it is. I'm not going to go there. Listen, I think they had a good late season rally, and it looked good just because they were so poor. I mean, this team went down in the dumps.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
You know, but listen, I don't.
You're right. He didn't throw a touchdown pass for 18 weeks or something. You're right. So we saw some production on the way out. I get what you're going. But no. But all kidding aside, he did look better. I think he showed that he can play in this league.
No, I think Bryce Young played just good enough to get another 1-year audition. However, I still don't see it where I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't see that wow game. And usually you see that within the first year or two. We'll see. I could be wrong. I didn't like the way David Canales handled things. I thought his inexperience showed up a lot in big spots. He got out coached in just about every single ball game. So we'll see how it pans out. I think, you know, Carolina and New Orleans, they're in the same division, and they're both terrible. I mean, these are probably the two worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, and I know that Chuck is going to get a chance this year, but, you know, New Orleans has Arch Manning written all over it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see how Arch Manning plays out, but understanding that Manning name, guys, I mean, it's his biggest name in the state. Let's just be real.
I get a lot of heat online, too. Like, oh, Arch Manning isn't coming out. It's like, dude, if the Saints have the number one pick, I think he might. Now, if it's not Arch Manning, I do know, like, Neusmeyer is, I think, the OC there in New Orleans, right? So that's
interesting. Yeah, and LSU, right, too, of course, the quarterback. So for the record, Rick, Carolina's win total, the odds makers are a lot higher on them than you are. It's 6.5. If it was 5.5, I'd be more interested. I don't want to run to the window and put my money down saying they're going to win 7 games. Right? Well, but that's what it is, Rick. It's 6.5, and it's actually -130 the over. So odds makers think this is, like I said, a 6 or 7 win football team.
Well, I'm broadcasting here from the Jersey Shore, and I'm going to give you my bold prediction of the week. I like Rutgers to win more ball games than the Carolina Panthers this year, so buckle up.
And Rutgers is 5.5. So, no, you got me sold on RU. You got me sold. I cashed with the Scarlet Knights last year, the over win total. Wasn't easy, actually. Rutgers are the type of team. Yeah, it came down to the last week. It came down to the last week. And Rutgers are the type of team, guys, like they won a few games that we didn't think they were going to win, and they lost a few that we didn't think they were going to lose.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Bro, let's do this thing. We talked NFL football. Week one, CFL is here. Less than 24 hours from now, we'll be on the air watching the game live, along with the NBA Finals, of course. But it's the old school Rough Riders versus Rough Riders, but now it's the Red Blacks. Versus the Rough Riders on Thursday night. Defending Grey Cup champion Toronto Argonauts are in Montreal on Friday night. Hamilton is in Calgary on Saturday afternoon / evening. And in a nightcap, the BC Lions host the Edmonton Elks in Vancouver, a game I've been talking a lot about. Snoop Dogg's doing a show before the game, so it's a big party, and they sold it out. 54,000 people will be in the house. But I want to take a look at the most outstanding player odds / MVP. They call it the MOP in the CFL. Chad Kelly, who's a household name pretty much. Everyone knows Chad Kelly. He's a favorite, but he shouldn't be. He's always suspended and or hurt. There's always drama around him. He's the favorite. And I've talked about this in the past. The Argonauts haven't always been a dominant regular season team. They just show up in the playoffs and win the Grey Cup every couple of years. So I don't think Chad Kelly's a great bet at plus 425 personally. Nate Rourke was the MVP of the league. And then he wanted to play in the NFL or at least make big NFL money, at least being a backup. He tried for 2 years. He bounced around from practice roster to practice roster. Never really got an opportunity. Signed back with the BC Lions. So now he's locked in. He's not distracted by anything anymore. He's the second favorite at plus 700. Bo Levi Mitchell, they're looking for a career resurgence here. Bo Levi Mitchell is 8-1, plus 800. Davis Alexander, the new starting quarterback for the Montreal Alouettes, is 10-1. Longtime vet Zach Collaros is 10-1. Brady Oliveira, the running back with the Bombers, is 11-1. Drew Brown is 11-1 with the Ottawa Red Blacks, and I'm kind of bullish on Ottawa this year. But Rick Saratella, what do you think? You were in the CFL last year with the Edmonton Elks for a year, so you got a feel for this league right now. If you were going to bet on a player to win the MVP, who would you take a player or two here?
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm missing Canada right about now. That's for sure. I'm surprised. Now, I'll tell you one thing about CFL odds. Vegas is always on like a 7-second delay. So, like, you can catch some good odds, right? Like, Chad Kelly, it's already been established he's going to start on the IR. They just start debating whether it's going to be the one game or the sixth game. So, like, he might miss the first month of the season. I don't know why he's favored. But to me, I'm looking at a guy like Bo Levi Mitchell. I like what the Hamilton Tiger Cats did in the offseason, starting with their front office and just the whole way they built it with the Canadian imports that they brought in. And I think Hamilton, outside of Montreal, who I think is going to actually get back to the Grey Cup and take it this year, Hamilton would be my dark horse. So I'm going to go Bo Levi-Mitchell because traditionally this has been predominantly a quarterback award.
Oh, it is a quarterback. One thing with Mitchell and the Ticats is their defense isn't great. So they're going to play in a lot of high-scoring games. I think, though, the Bo's numbers were a little bit overinflated last year because they were losing all the time, right? Like, they were down big often, and they threw the ball a lot. But one thing with Milanovic's offense, the coach there, he is aggressive. Like, he does like to throw the ball deep down the field. So he's going to have a chance to put numbers up. But I'll tell you, Nate Rourke, and the thing with Nate Rourke, guys, is he's a Canadian. And who votes for this stuff? The Canadian media. I'm just saying. So they like to sort of, you know, when they, and it's rare that they get an opportunity to vote for one of their own because they have the most outstanding Canadian separate award. But if Nate Rourke puts up big numbers, I personally think, and he will, I'm not saying the Lions are going to be a great team. I don't really know. There's a lot of question marks around them this year. But I do know he'll put numbers up, Rick. And Buck Pierce is the new coach in BC. And Buck Pierce was a psychopath when he was a quarterback, bro. Like, this guy was literally, like, one of the toughest players I've ever seen in my life. Like, they had to force him to retire. Like, they were like, you can't play anymore. Like, you're going to die, right? You know, but he told Nate, he's going to get Nate killed, though, Rick. He told Nate, I want you to run more and be more aggressive. So,
well,
I think Nate's going to put some numbers up, right?
Well, you know, listen, I mean, if I'm being honest, I didn't love what I saw last season. I get it. He was working off the rust. You know, he had a lot of time off. But I got to see him do it. Like, you know, Vernon Adams, I think, could be in contention for this MVP race if Calgary does what we think they will do. And if they make the playoffs, I mean, this guy, Vernon Adams, is going to have monster numbers. And we saw that. Like,
no, yeah. You're right. You talked about it, Rick, about the level of quarterbacks, bro. How about Trey Ford? He's a hell of an athlete. Can he stay healthy? But he's super exciting to watch play, right? I mean, if the Edmonton Elks suddenly get good, but I know it's a little strange. You were with the Elks. I have question marks as well with the new, you know what I mean? We'll see what this new regime does here. But I am a Trey Ford fan. You were there. The fans want to see him, bro, just because he's entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He is an entertaining player. Let's be real.
He's the most entertaining player in the CFL, you know, but you mentioned it. Can he stay healthy? And that's going to determine how far this Edmonton Elks team can go. And I'll tell you what, like, they played their starters in the preseason finale against BC's third and fourth string, and it was a very close game. And so I believe that when BC throws their starters out there this week, that, and I'm not saying it because of sour grapes, but this game could be ugly just because there are so many new moving parts, new coaching, new front office, new ownership, new players. I mean, this roster was gutted. They got rid of everybody. And so I think there's going to be some more, unfortunately, growing pains in Edmonton.
Yeah, and you got a coach that was just a special teams coach forever. The head coach, like, it was kind of a strange hire to me. And one thing about BC, yeah, Buck Pierce is a new coach, but this guy's a CFL vet. He was a quarterback forever, stud at New Mexico State, longtime coordinator of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It's his time. He's ready to dance. Benavidez, a longtime CFL coach. Phillips been around the league forever. Like, the BC Lions have a very experienced coaching staff. My only thought with the Lions, Rick, is that they got all these dudes, bro, that are like CFL lifers. Like, and they're kind of stuck in their ways. So, you know what I mean? I'm just wondering, like, how modern this thing's going to be with the BC Lions.
Well, you know, they did bring in Kamoke Touré from the Rutgers, former third-round pick, second-round pick from the Colts as a pass rusher. And I saw this Fenwick kid out of Oregon State they added to the practice roster.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on him.
I swear, I said it, man. They got a little too Canadian happy to BC Lions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
We get so fired up about these games with Rick Zaratello. We talk right through the breaks. There's not enough time. We need to go commercial free here. We got about 5.5 minutes and six games to get to. So we'll blast through them here. Ottawa Redblacks, Saskatchewan Roughriders, Thursday night, season opener. Rough Riders were 3.5-point favorites last night. It's moved to 3 right now. Who do you like Rick? Ottawa or Saskatchewan?
Well, I like Sean Bain, one of the most impressive players in the Canadian Football League for Saskatchewan. However, Ottawa, I think, is going to be putting points on the board with my guy, Geno Lewis. Give me Ottawa with the money line. I like them to win in the upset.
Oh, upset special. I actually like the Red Blacks plus the points. Love the Red Blacks in a 7-point teaser, getting 10 points. Tease to the over 42.5. Toronto Argonauts. Nick Arbuckle will be starting. The Alouettes were pretty sloppy in the preseason. They ended stronger. You know, they didn't really play anybody, though. So now it sort of gets real for them. The Alouettes are they were 4.5-point favorites. They're still 4-point favorites in this game, Rick, against the Argos. Who do you like there in Montreal Friday night?
Yeah, Montreal had a lot of new players in camp, but I expect them to be ready for the prime time against the defending champs in the Grey Cup rematch. Toronto got them the last time there. We were in attendance, but, you know, Nick Arbuckle is going to get the start with Chad Kelly on the bench. Give me Montreal to cover in a close one.
Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Calgary Stampeders. This is a big game. Both these teams are very similar. Like, they're both... You know, their fan bases want a lot. They both have struggled for years. They both put a lot of money into the teams in the offseason. They both think they're going to have good years. And now they're playing each other. It should be noted, actually, too. It's the 80th anniversary game. 80 years of football for the Calgary Stampeders. And they're celebrating it with this game. And we talked about it earlier in the week. They got Brett Michaels of Poison playing like in 2 weeks at their game or in a couple of weeks down the road here. So a big, big game in Calgary. Like they, you know what I mean? They're really fired up about this one. It's going to be a fun one. It's the highest total, Rick, 52.5. Oddsmakers are expecting a track meet in this one.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about the over just because there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of new players. And while I do think Hamilton is going to be the play here for the long run, later on in the season, I'll be taking the Ticats. But week one, give me Calgary at home is going to be feeling the love.
And Calgary are 2-point home underdogs in this game. A little bit of movement. It was Hamilton was -1.5. Now it's 2. There hasn't been any movement yet in the Edmonton and the BC game. And it's weird, too, because the BC Lions are kind of the public team in the U.S. Most of their games are on the CBS Sports Network. They often go over the number. They were really good for a couple of years. Like, the Lions are always the biggest favorites. And here they are. Here we go again. Biggest favorites, you know, on the board here. But last year, Lions cost people money. Like I said, they got a new coach now, some new faces, but they brought Matthew Betts back in, who tried to make the Detroit Lions, right? That'll make a big difference too, Rick. He wasn't there last year for the whole year. So they sort of have their really good players back from a couple of years ago. But like you said, are you still good? Go out there and prove it. But it does feel like I could see this game opening up. And I can see Nate Rourke putting some big-time numbers up against these kids that are going to be playing defense for Edmonton.
Yeah, and I can tell you, we were in on the Nate Rourke sweepstakes a season ago, and he decided to go with your boys, BC, there. And I think that, like, we mentioned it last segment, you know, Edmonton, they gutted the roster. There's going to be a transition period once again. I think BC could cover the spread by halftime, and then you can kick your feet up in the second half and pop open a soda pop.
UFL, we're down to the final 4 semifinal action. the Michigan Panthers are in Birmingham. The Stallions, who have been the Stallions of this this league and these leagues over the years. So defending champion Birmingham, minus 125. The game is basically a pick'em. Rick, Michigan have been resting players. They've been a little bit beat up down the stretch here. Seems like Birmingham are starting to heat up again. And then you get the D.C. Defenders in St. Louis. I like the Battlehawks. So, number one, I think the Battlehawks get it done, guys. They're 2.5-point favorites, minus 150 on the money line. And Michigan and Birmingham, hell of a game, Rick. But I'm going to go with Birmingham. I think Michigan probably falls short, unfortunately, for them once again. Who are you going to take?
Yeah, you know, I got the all-UFL team coming out tomorrow on allaccessfootball.com. Bryce Perkins, the quarterback, and Tua Tua, the Michigan running back, both made my all-UFL team. However, Birmingham just finds a way to get it done. Three consecutive spring league championships. I know they were hoping to get Alex Magoo back. Instead, they get Matt Corral back. But if Jamar Smith starts, give me Birmingham. St. Louis blew out D.C. earlier. I think they beat them twice in the regular season. I think the defenders are going to get revenge behind Jordan Tiamo. I don't feel greatly confident about it, but I think D.C. could upset them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. Always awesome talking football with Rick Saratellas. We touched on all three leagues. NFL, CFL, and then UFL, CFL kickoff regular season in less than 48 hours' time, and it is the UFL playoffs this weekend. Dave Delano likes to dabble in the UFL a bit. Let's just get a quick update before we bring Delano in here. It's 4-3 for the Los Angeles Dodgers over the Mets. We got a good one going on at Chavez Ravine right now. The Dodgers are currently minus 290, Mets plus 220. Total is 12.5. I'm not sure it's going to get to 13, actually, guys. But we are, like I said, we're in the top of the fifth inning right now. There's seven runs, but I don't. And it just moved it to 12.5, plus 100 to the over, under 12.5, minus 130. Baltimore leads Seattle 3-1. We're in the bottom of the seventh there. In-game total is currently 5.5. Baltimore minus 700. Seattle plus 450. San Francisco hadn't scored since Sunday afternoon. They finally have scored 2-0. They're leading San Diego on the top of the seventh. They're minus 500 right now. In-game total is 4.5. And the Minnesota Twins have tied the Athletics in Sacramento. Top of six, minus 155 Twins right now. And Twins minus 1.5. That's what I'm on. And I got the over the game. I'm hoping this thing opens up. Twins minus 1.5 is plus 130 right now. The Athletics are plus 130 on the money line. The Twins are minus 160 on the money line. Tomorrow night will be our golf night as it's the Canadian Open this week. But I did see something pretty amusing here about Phil Mickelson. And, you know, Phil Mickelson's kind of becoming an online troll a little bit. He likes to stir the pot online. And somebody... Mickelson was responding to a post that called Joaquin Neiman a top five player in the world at the time. Phil Mickelson said that Neiman was the number one player in the world. Trevor Immelman saw Mickelson's post and said, this is a hot take. And Phil Mickelson responded to him, Cam, here's a hot take. Does Scotty win again in 2025 before the Ryder Cup? He said this on March 16th. Scottie Scheffler's won three tournaments since. So Mickelson didn't think that Scottie Scheffler was going to win again before the Ryder Cup. I don't know. That's not a hot take. That's a stupid take. That's why Phil Mickelson went bankrupt, Cam. He's bet like, would be, no wonder you lost betting so much, bro, with takes like this. Scottie Scheffler's not going to win again before the Ryder Cup.
Excellent. No, this guy, Phil Mickelson's unreal. Like, he's with Neiman and Liv. Like, no offense to Joaquin Neiman. You could argue not even, like, a top 10. Like, Gabe, he hasn't won a major. Like, the guy makes paychecks, but what has he really done? You've won at Riviera? That's it? Like, Rahm's got
you're beating a bunch of Liv guys that don't care that are playing for cash.
Exactly. Like, to say Joaquin Neiman's the best golfer in the world could be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's just stupid. So, Scheffler's won more games, I think, Gabe, than Carolina
Panthers. He said March 16th.
March?
He said March 16th. Yeah, okay. Scheffler's won three tournaments since Mickelson said that he wouldn't win before the Ryder Cup. Yeah, I don't appreciate, though, the that was a cheap shot by the PGA there with the Carolina Panthers crack.
Oh, yeah, Panthers versus Scheffler.
They deleted it after. I'm sure Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, called them and said, hey, yeah. No problem.
Hey, what are you doing?
The Panthers, they're minding their own business, Ken. I got nothing to do with your golf tournament, all right? Like, leave us out of it. I'd be upset if I was the Panthers, too.
It was the
I would
best.
Say that if I was the Panthers' owner's really rich, David Tepper. Yeah. I'd have it in the book, and I'd be like, someday I'm going to get the PGA back for this somehow. Right? Like, they're going to need something from me at some time.
On his list, like Billy Madison, he's got it written down.
I'm going to block some business deal. I'm going to block something. Like, I'm going to get these guys down the road for this. But
Morenci.
We got to bring Delano in. But last year you lost with the Panthers. Bovey went down with it. We'll get Delano's take on this. Yep. But I don't know. Rick Saratella might have had a few. My boy, Rick, he loves the CFL, too. And he goes, man, like you and I, Gabe, were at the Great Cup of Montreal and Toronto. I'm like, it was Winnipeg and Toronto. It wasn't Montreal. It was Winnipeg and Toronto. They're in the same division. I didn't want to break his heart. He's all fired up. He was at the Great Cup last year, but he got the teams wrong. He had a few with the Great Cup, evidently.
Yeah,
but yeah, Rick's take was, he goes, the Panthers will win two games this year.
Two games.
I said under 5.5, but I said 2 games. That's ridiculous. I said I think the Panthers win 6 or 7 games. Delano's in the house. What's up, Dave? How you doing?
It's insulting.
I'm doing good. I was going to say right now it's interesting seeing how some of the high-volume bettors approach things. This is a great time of the year, an exciting time. Sometimes I like to tread lightly, but I see you're in full swing with everything going right now.
Oh, yeah. We're always pedal to the metal. People say, the summertime is slow. No, not around here.
No way.
There's always something. But, okay, before we get into the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, Dave, what about baseball? You got any late-night baseball action? We've got action on all these games right now. What do you got?
Well, the only one I got, same one that you've got, I took the one that looked like a slam dunk, and I think they're still going to bring it home. I have the Twins on the run line in this one, minus the 1.5. I think they're going to come back and get it done. I mean, these A's have been giving up a boatload of runs. I think that the Twins can hold them down. And later in the game, I mean, that's really where the Twins should shine. So that's the only one that I have going on tonight. Got a couple for tomorrow that I'm looking at, but for tonight, I'm on the Twins run line.
What catches your eye? The Twins just took a 3-2 lead, guys.
There it is.
Twins just took a 3-2 lead, so let's keep it rolling. Top of 6, there's still time for this thing to open up. In-game total just moved to 9.5 right now. I brought it up off the top, actually. A couple of interesting tidbits tonight from baseball perspective. So Bryce Harper's back for Philadelphia. They snapped their 4-game losing streak. He hit a home run in his first at-bat back. Philly's bats lit up Francis tonight. So that's an interesting game tomorrow if the Blue Jays can bounce back. And this Addison Barger guy on the Blue Jays, 4th game in a row, he's hit a home run. Nobody knows who the hell he is. This guy's got a cannon, too, from right field. Like his serious arm, like the Phillies were scared. Like they were hitting balls off the wall. They were lighting it up today. They were hitting balls off the wall. There were singles though. And they're like, yeah, this Barger guy's arm like really scares people. But like a lot of people with a good arm, he's cocky. You saw he threw it to third base trying to get someone on a tag out. You weren't going to throw him out, bro. And he ended up throwing it wildly. You got it. Vlad Guerrero Sr. used to do that though. Like he used to try to show off and it would backfire. Son of the Mets just tied the game. Mets just tied this game 4-4. 4-4 baseball game at Chavez Ravine. So it looks like this game is going over.
Too, Gabe. Like, that's the frustrating thing. It looks like Kershaw is going to get out of these innings, and the Mets have done it a couple times with 2 outs. So, yeah, this game looks like it might turn into a track meet here.
Yeah, it's a good series. I mean, he's two of the better teams in the National League, right? Along with the Phillies. Two of the better teams, as good as it gets. They're going back and forth here. So, a big time game, 4-4 right now. All right, so we'll get Delano's take on the Stanley Cup Finals. Kev, what's your prediction? We got McKinnis's prediction earlier. I'm going to give mine later. What's your prediction for the Stanley Cup Finals? Who wins it and how many games?
I like your bold pick of five. I'm going to go six, same as McInnes. Edmonton in six. I think they want to end this thing early as possible. It's a good call by you too, Gabe. Remember, the Panthers are going to want to squeeze you and use their physicality, and the longer it gets, I want Edmonton. They got to jump out on these guys early. They got to win home games. McInnes was right too. Game three, crucial if they can get one in Florida too. But the longer the series goes, you don't want Florida, with the physical nature of that team, to beat you down. So Edmonton's got to jump on them early, and I believe they can. Oilers in six.
You can take the Oilers at minus 1.5 games. So that would be the Oilers. You would win your bet, Oilers in five or Oilers in six. It's plus 155. My bold pick, if this, you know what? And at these odds, I'll roll the dice on this. I'm thinking pretty bold here, Delano. I said earlier, Edmonton Oilers in five. Edmonton Oilers in five. Minus 2.5 games is plus 330. Let me see the series correct score here, because isn't it a better number? Yeah, Oilers in five is plus 500. The exact series score, plus 500, Oilers in five. We'll get Delano's take on the other side, but I really do believe that home ice is going to be a big difference. I think the Oilers are going to win the first two games at home. I think they can split. They can split in Florida and then come back home up 3-1.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This is Sports Rage. I am Morency, and we were talking football with Rick Saratella. I was thinking about the Edmonton Oilers, and... You know, they remind me of right now, actually, like, you know, and I'm not there, right? I'm not at the Stanley Cup final, so I'm not in the room with the press conferences, and I was at the Super Bowl. So I saw it up hand, like with the Eagle players. And I remember at media night, I told, like, right away, I noticed the massive difference. Like, guys on the Chiefs were like dancing, and they were doing a lot of the, you know, the Instagram girl interviews, and you could just, you know, it looked like, I don't know, they were very casual about it. Like, the Eagle players were all sort of nervous and angry. There was like, I remember I told someone, I said, look at these guys. I said, dude, they're a lock to win. There's like 25 of them standing in the corner. They don't even want to mingle or talk to the media. They're just, they look angry and they just want to get out of there. And like all week, I can just sort of tell, like, and it was one of the rare times too that the players stayed like downtown where the fans were. It was like, so you'd see the players walking around and stuff. And the Eagle guys were like all effing business all the time. And it was all week you'd hear the stories. Oh, yeah, the Chiefs were at the casino till 2-3 in the morning last night. Yeah, yeah, the Chief player was out at the bar on Bourbon Street. Right? Like the Chiefs, they've been to the Super Bowl a lot. Eagles had been to the Super Bowl and freaking lost. I see the same thing, Delano, with the Oilers right now. During their, like, Connor McDavid, this guy, he barely cracked a little smile once in the room, I noticed. Connor Brown, they played a practical joke where they announced the starting lineup and Connor Brown jumped out from underneath the bench and scared everybody. And they did it to break the ice, like they did it in the last series against Dallas. And Connor McDavid actually sort of laughed a bit. And then he sort of said, all right, back to business, guys. Right? And like he doesn't smile. Like, and he'll smile when the job is done. And I saw him today talking about, he goes, you know, at first I was a kid, then I just wanted to make the NHL. Then I wanted to dominate the NHL. He goes, now there's only one thing left, and we know what it is. It's the Stanley Cup, Delano. Who's your pick? Who are you taking?
Well, I kind of like going game to game, but for the – I know it's going to be a little bit unpopular. I mean, it's such a toss-up, but I'm going to go Panthers in seven for my series for prediction for the record. Now, the only thing – I haven't personally bet on the series, but I do have a wager on game one, and I'm actually taking the Panthers to jump out in front and to upset the Oilers, a slight upset, a plus 110. And I also like the over six in the opening game. I know starting off, it's in a matchup like this, maybe tempted to take the under, but man, the way the Oilers just are able to score at home and the Panthers just been lighting up the scoreboard on the road, even, you know, throughout the entire game. I like the over six, and I like the Panthers in game one, and I'll say Panthers in seven for the series.
I would be shocked if it was a 2-1 game tomorrow night. there's probably going to be goals. Yeah, I'd be really surprised if it was, like, low scoring. Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. Oiler games are weird. Like, the Oilers have been very consistent kind of. Well, you know, it's like 1-0 early. You know, the totals, you know, they come down. And then once the floodgates open, they'll score a couple of goals in bunches. The other team will respond in bunches. The Panthers are a very bunch-scoring type team, as we know, right? You know what I mean? They'll score two goals in 30 seconds, and then they won't score for 20 minutes. But then, they, you know, they'll score three goals or whatnot, and a bunch of empty net goals. So, it's, you know, I'd be very weary about playing the under. I get it. I'm leaning on with the over 1.5 in the first period.
They have been sloppy.
But I think it's an advantage for Edmonton, personally, that they've been off. I think Edmonton, I saw them, dude, they were flying around the rink during practice. Edmonton, they've already been at home. Edmonton aren't the ones that have to travel. And we've seen, Cam, the Florida Panthers have been slow starters in playoff series before. Hell, the Leafs had them on the ropes. Teams like, you can get them. Like, you know what I mean? You can beat them early, the Panthers. They get better as that series goes on. They kind of pace themselves knowing that it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, these seven-game series. But they've been a little slow out of the gate at times. I think they're vulnerable early. So I think that the layoff is actually an advantage for the Edmonton.
Good news, fellas.
Oilers.
Twins just scored 5-2, and they got guys on still. There we go.
Good. Let's get the over now. Just blow it right open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Smash. Man, these Oakland pitchers and bullpens, they're the worst in the business. Sorry. Sacramento, the Athletics, they stink. Man, these guys are great to bet against live. They're horrible. Every night, it's the same thing.
They just got out of the inning, unfortunately. But it's 5-2 at least. The Twins now out a 5-2 lead for the Twins. All right, so yeah, Dave, you did rain on our parade here because we're pro Edmonton on the show. But I like your contrarian view. All right, so NBA Finals, we got a massive number. You and I have been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, and there really wasn't a difference, guys. Like, we could have bet on the Pacers at plus 500 last week, and they're plus 500 right now. It was kind of set in stone that this is what it was going to be. The odds makers are not, like, moving. They're not impressed by, like, this Pacers run enough that, you know, they're like, sure, you want to take them at plus 500, go ahead. Are you going to bite, Dave? Like a bass in the water. Are you going to bite at the plus 500?
No, I'm not going to bet on the plus 500. I wouldn't. It's hard to count the Pacers out, though. I think they'll put up a better series than most people expect, and they have the coaching advantage. I mean, Carlisle, he pulled off the impossible last time he was there, knocking off the Heat. But what I am going to do, at close to those plus 500 odds, at about plus 450, it's plus 400 to plus 450, depending where you're looking. But I like the Thunder, not to just take the Thunder to win the series, because obviously there's no value there. But I like taking the Thunder to win 4-2, exactly. And also, a lot of places still showing around plus 115 for the series to go over 5.5 games, because I do think that the Pacers win at least two games. And then if the Pacers, you know, mess around and win the series or do even better than that, there's no way I see Oklahoma City going down and, you know, going down quickly. So I like over 5.5 games for the series. And I also like Oklahoma City at plus 450 to win 4-2.
I agree as far as the Pacers being able to win a couple of games. Yeah, I think that they're going to be able to, you know, I think they'll be able to win at home. Like, Oklahoma City are nearly unbeatable on the road, and they win by a margin all the time. But, will you know, you never know. You know, sometimes nerves get to teams in the NBA Finals in the first game, then they feel better about it after. We'll break it down more on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So the Oklahoma City Thunder are 9.5-point favorites right now in game one. The total is 231. Everybody is expecting a pace here in this series, right? People, oh, it's going to be high scoring. It's going to be high scoring. Yeah, it should be. The only thing that will like not get this game over the number is if it turns into a blowout somehow. And we've seen this with Oklahoma City at times, right, where they're just killing the other team by so much, and it does break the will of the other team. The Pacers have been pretty good at not tapping out in these games, but man, the Thunder just go on these explosive runs all the time. But I'll be lining up for the total to the over 231 here. I think it will be a track meet. As far as tomorrow night is concerned, I will go against my esteemed colleague here and Dave Delano. I'm going to take the Edmonton Oilers in game one. I think, you know, listen, you can get a nice, like, what, a plus 150 or something. The Oilers to win game one and win the series, plus 160 or so. I don't have a problem with that. Edmonton Oilers to win game one, minus 130. As far as the props are concerned, let's go over 1.5 in the first period, minus 130. And I'm going to be Captain Chalk on this one. I'm going to say that the star player set the tone real early for the Edmonton Oilers. So I'm going to roll the dice on Leon. It's like first touchdown score. Leon Draisaitl to score the first goal of the game at plus 750. Connor McDavid to score the first goal of the game at plus 1,000, so 10-1. And maybe to get an early power play goal with Evan Bouchard, who, you know, of course, blasts him from the point. How about this, guys? 22-1, plus 2,200 for Evan Bouchard to score the first goal of the game. So I'm going to roll the dice with the star players. Draisaitl, McDavid, and Bouchard to score the first goal of the game for the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow. Delano, before we get you out of here, you said you got you were taking a look at some overnight baseball. What are you looking at here tomorrow?
Yeah, I like the Astros tomorrow. A little bit pricey, minus 145. But, man, they had a big win today with McCullers beating Paul Skenes. You've got a Pirates team. They've really struggled to score more than four runs in a game. They've got Mike Burrows, who's only pitched two games this year. They haven't gone well, so I like the Astros, minus 145. And a little bit of a lean on the Cubs at minus 134. A pretty good price on the Cubs there. Mackenzie Gore's been pitching well for the Nationals, but that bullpen is terrible, and as well as he's pitched at home, they're still just 1-4 in those games. So normally you see the Cubs a lot more juice that you would have to lay in a situation like this with Boyd on the mound. So I like the Cubs at minus 130, and I love the Astros at minus 145 tomorrow.
Cam, what are your overnight picks?
I like the Oilers as well. I think I'm going to ride the over. First goal of the game, I'm going to go with the Nuge, Gabe Nugent Hopkins for the Oilers. He's been pretty good to me. I almost want to take a flyer on Corey Perry. Baseball, do I dare take the Colorado Rockies for a third straight win? The price is a little bit light against the Marlins, but you know what? I'd rather have Colorado and Freeland. That line kind of tells you something, too. You're only getting 10, 15 cents with these guys, Morenci. I must need my head examined. Give me the Rockies for the third straight time. They'll make it three.
What a low point for the Marlins, Dave.
they
get swept by the Rockies.
You know, one of my friends, man, we've been betting on like against the Rockies like every game. And I told him before this series, I said, let's chill out. I said, not for the Marlins. I said, let's take a break. Wait till they play the Mets. I didn't want to bet on the Rockies, but I was like, this is a bad matchup. I was like, if they got to win more than nine games. So.
Dave's Twitter goes, relegate them. Were you talking about both teams, Marlins and Rockies?
Yeah, both of them. The Marlins and the Rockies should be removed from Major League Baseball and call up the Toledo Mudheads or I don't know.
Hopefully they get the sweep, and then the price will start to get better value betting against them going forward after they go on this three-game winning streak.
I'm looking here at a prop here, guys, and it's pretty scary, actually. And for people to think I'm nuts talking about, like, you know what, I think the Oilers could be up 3-1 after four games. So this is the series correct score after four games right now. Edmonton Oilers to be up 3-1 after four is plus 240 only. I was expecting more, to be honest. I thought, yeah, I'll be getting more for this. So a sweep, I don't think either team's going to sweep anybody, but an Oilers sweep is plus 900. A Panthers sweep is 11-1. Panthers up 3-1 after four is plus 275. And the most likely scenario probably actually is that they're tied after four games at two. And that happens to be plus 145. Right now. All right. Shout out to our boy Fasano in Master Control. It's all of our guests this evening. Follow Delano online. Get sports strong. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.